Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, in struggling with weaknesses in his own life, he says there in verse 9 and 10. Chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I, or I am strong." When I'm weak, then am I strong. He knew the secret of overcoming his weaknesses, the grace of God coming into his life to change him. And when grace comes, joy comes. You could look at that same person in the mirror whom you despise with all those weaknesses that you knew in yourself, and you say, "I rejoice because the grace of God is there." And there's a different attitude that you now have to yourself. Now we got to go on. There's a lot of truth there, but let's go on to chapter 2. The second type of trials and sufferings, they can come. And it comes because of a lack of wisdom in relating to people. In relating to people. It looks as if it's weaknesses, but it's not always so. Sometimes weaknesses in our life cause us to have inabilities to relate to people. But sometimes people just have not a weakness, but a lack of knowledge of how to relate to people. And as a result of their lack of knowledge of how to relate to people in different relationships, they cause problems upon themselves. And then they call it a trial. So here in chapter 2, as I said, in every chapter there's something spoken about key verse with something spoken about conduct. You see, in chapter 1, he speaks about our conduct in freeing ourselves from the lust of the flesh or the things that are in our own life. In chapter 1 verse 17, it says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers." See, aimless conduct. So the things that are in our own life, the weaknesses, they are not trained. They are aimless. Now in chapter 2, it's a different area. He says in verse 11 and 12, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." It looks similar to chapter 1, but as it goes on, you see that it's in a different area. "Having your conduct honorable." And here, for the first time, he emphasized honor. "Honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now obviously in verse 12, you are a different area now. You are able to do good works. You have overcome to a certain extent. And then in chapter 2, he begins to talk about relationship, because it's now all related about honor. About honoring one another, preferring one another, relating one to another. And so he says in verse 13, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Some problems are caused by mere foolishness and a lack of knowledge. "As free yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Now here he's talking about many types of relationship. Relationship with society, relationship with those in authority, relationship to all these different aspects of society and people, and to Christians and to non-Christians, and to your boss and to your employers or to your employees, to all different aspects, to your own family members, all these areas of relationship. If we don't understand the wisdom of how to honor people and give honor to whom honor is due, we will get into trials. Some people get into a trial all because they don't know one key word: honor. Honor to whom honor is due. Respect to whom respect is due. And because of a lack of that, they get into problems. A lot of quote-unquote what I call young people's problems, or young upstarts, whether in ministry or in business, when we have a big head but small heart, a lot of knowledge but very little experience, we don't know how to relate to people. And though we may be able to do some things, but we create problems every time we do something. It all comes down to relationship, skill, mellowness, and a quality that we call humility. Humility. It's very hard to get angry at a humble man. But have you noticed it's easy to get angry at a proud man? And this kind of humility can never come. And the key here, it tells us, how do we learn to relate? It starts by learning many qualities here. It talks about qualities of submission. And I pondered on this. And I realized that submission can never be learned by being a hermit all in a cave, or in your prayer closet all alone. Submission is learned when you relate to people and you go under authority. And think about it for a moment. There is no other way it can be learned. If we have never related to people before and submitted and yield to authority before, we never learn it, and perpetually in our life we enter quote-unquote trials. Not because of a lack of ability, but because of our lack of respect for others. And we create problems which are unnecessary. Sometimes we come across good people. I know a good man. I know. He's, and he can do things well. And he used to be acting in churches. He's no more with us because he just keeps getting quarrels with people. Very quarrelsome character. Has tremendous ability and potential, but there's something funny when he does something. He wants it all his way. So from time to time there will always be rubbings, because nobody gets their way all the time. In life you got to give and take. Another sometime he's good when the entire project is his, but when it comes to relating to another department, always gets into problems. In the end, he could not be of any use in any area, because he did not know how to draw the line to give respect and honor to whom honor is due. And the very people he quarreled with are the very people who started leaving until he could not work with them. There are many such individuals in different places, and we need to take note of our own personal life and relationship. when I was in the early days of my ministry, I struggled in relating to people. Primarily because in my early life, I did not really learn close relationship. In my own family, I was not close to any of my brothers or sisters in those days. I am close now, but not last time. I used to hide all alone in a room doing reading. I was just interested to gain knowledge. Never had a girlfriend in my entire school days. Just got no time for those things. I'm just more interested in a world of all of my own. When I left and entered into ministry, I found that unless I deal with those areas, I would never be able to succeed. And so the first 2 years was difficult because I struggled to relate. But in the end, through time, learn to relate. And I found that one of the first breakthroughs I had was when I learned to be close with my own parents. I love them, they love me, but we never say that. And I was in seminary, my father was not born again yet. And when I was there, the Lord dealt with me. The Lord said, you have to show your father love. I said, Lord, how do you do that? And the Lord says, when you go back the next holiday, I want you to tell him that you love him. How old was I? Probably about 18 or 19. And I have never said to my father, I love you. All of you look at me and say, aha, you're the only one, brother. I think some of you are as guilty too. Because we came from typical Oriental families where we don't show emotions. I never received a hug from my parents at all. Spanking, yes. But no hugs. Thank God for Christianity. Now I deal with my children differently. We hug each other. We talk. We play together. Every night I'm home, they ask for Papa Cho. We joke, we laugh. I never had that. And because I was not trained when I was young, and I don't blame my parents, that was all they know. They have done their best. My father has gone to be with the Lord. But I came back, and it was holiday time from seminary, and I was in my house. And I knew God tell me to tell him, and I don't know. You know, sometimes it's so hard to say those three words to the ones whom you find it very hard. To some people it's easy. So my father was busy reading on the sofa, and I came quietly and said, Pa. That's how he talks. He grunts. And I'm going to tell you something. Pa, I want you to know that I really love you. And I quickly run. And I just felt uncomfortable when I ran. But when I did that, something on my inside broke. And my father didn't say anything back, but as far as I was concerned, I had done it. Later, when I went back to the seminary and was helping as a student minister in the churches, the Baptist churches, I found it easier to relate to those elderly folks, where earlier I could not. I could begin to relate to them. Now I realized that it all has to do with learning about relationship. So the second area where trials come is because we don't learn to relate. And as a pastor, you hear many times different church members share about problems they have in their working life. And there are always two sides of the coin. One side could be, it's true. It may be true that they really have a hard time and hard co-workers and hard boss. But the other side of the coin is, maybe they didn't learn how to relate.